There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan.
My brother from another mother.
On FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along. And always good to talk to this man and read his work. You read his work in 1819 News, but you can also get the Substack, and that's a place you get constant contact from my friend Troy Carrico, Army veteran, 22 years, plus work in the intelligence field. I think last time, speaking of intelligence, we were talking about data centers last week, and just and somebody brought it up over the weekend. They said, did they say there was a big data center for Google Earth? And I said, yeah, Troy said, exactly. And I've been there for a long time. Hey, Troy.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good, man. Yeah, wasn't it like, some? We talked about it, and you'd gone in looking at a data center. This is, you know, people who think this is new, it's not new. They've been going on a while. And that one was for Google Earth, and I thought about all the time I sit scrolling around on Google Earth. I was probably the I was probably the cause of that data center.
Listen, those the KML files, you know, one of the things KMZ and KML, one of the things I find interesting, what I mean is how it's codified and then restored. We didn't really get to touch a lot on that, the last one. I think there's going to be major techno improvements in the way we do this business. It's just kind of got a high learning curve right now. So, yeah.
100%. I do want to talk about your latest that they can read, Boardroom versus the Battlefield. And I wanted to say earlier when we were texting, like, yeah, now everybody's coming to my way of thinking. It's not that. I really don't take any kind of victory here, because it's our men and women that are in harm's way. And that's the most important to me. And I hold that very, very sacred. But asking what the plan is here for President Trump, there's more people that I think have come around to my questions here. And you come with all the, you know, ability to know it at a world level, having served. You're asking those same questions as well. What's the plan here?
Well, I think, you know, I hate to say you're right, but you're right. Do what the war fighter does, ass kicking violence on the objective and get it done. But there's been too much boardroom and not enough battlefield. And what I mean is, it's one thing to make an art of the deal when you're dealing with a real estate deal somewhere in Curacao or wherever you might be, but it's a completely different to be dealing with particularly the IRGC, which is a cartel riot.
My gosh, I'm losing you here. There you are. Troy, you're back. Okay. I just lost you for a second.
I'm
there.
Sorry.
Yeah, this
should be good.
Yes.
But my thought, Sean, is this, that we really find ourselves asking, can you really make a deal? Let's be honest. Did you see the terms? I think you did.
Mm-hmm.
The terms are this. There'll be a northern, there'll be a southern route, there'll be a third route for two-way traffic. All of that is under the purview of Iran. Oman will control the southern portion of that exit. But the point of the matter is, we don't need their acquiescence anymore. That southern route that's been open, we've moved almost 1,000 boats in the last month, and you saw oil come down to 72 a barrel right now, roughly, with Brent. I'm telling you that whatever happened there, that southern route, which is one of the three routes, is going to be used, I think, exclusively for freedom of navigation. And I give it maybe 72 hours, and the Iranians will launch an attack.
100%. 100%. And, you know, and then you go for the Persian, go to the Red Sea, and then you got the Houthis doing the same thing over there. They're not going to – I mean, it frustrates me, Troy, that we're negotiating as equals here because of the policy to this point. We shouldn't be this way.
No, it should not be this way. And what I really concern myself with is the veracity of we've lost so much, as they say in the Arab world, Wasta with our Gulf allies. And then again, I'm careful to say they're not really allies. They're co-conspirators in certain realms. Mm-hmm. If you think for a moment any of those countries has America's best interests in mind, I'll sell you this bridge out here in the desert. And I'm telling you now that it's Israel is the only success. If you read my article I did on Substack, I said the only real success I can see here quantitatively, qualitatively, is that initial strike that Israel did, knocking out the command and control structure mm-hmm. and assassinating a lot of people. Other than that, we've been spinning our wheels. How many times? How many times, Sean? 12? 13, I think now. We're going to be bombing them really hard.
This is the 13th. This is the 13th yesterday where you better do it or else. This is the real last time. No. This time is the real last time. It's silly, man. It's embarrassing.
It's very embarrassing, and it's not a good look for us on the international stage. You can see why Europe is going to continue to flitter away from them. I think, though, the interesting wild card was when Ukraine was brought online with this here recently with the Caspian Sea strikes on some of those cargo ships carrying weapons. This thing still has high potential to go in different directions. You've got North Korea sending 30,000 troops and two missile batteries to Ukraine to fight. You've got all sorts of stuff in the geographic area of responsibility there between CENTCOM and EUCOM. And Turkey is the real wild card. Turkey is really kind of a wild card in all of this. They haven't made a lot of noise, but I expect to see them start doing a little bit more vociferous activity, especially if Iran starts acting up.
Yeah.
I think they will.
Well, it is interesting. And then put Turkey on one side of that. And then Pakistan, you talk about they're serving their own interests. They're playing this for whatever works. I mean, they have been the moderators, right, for the peace accords. At the same time, they sheltered Iranian Air Force assets in their country. They're kind of in this at all levels. They're gonna figure out. They're like the lawyers. Everything's done. They're gonna make the money.
Yeah, they've always been that way. You know, I've always said that I felt like we made a bad mistake geopolitically when we backed Pakistan versus India. India was a much more natural fit for us with the British, former mm-hmm. British colony, English speaking, well educated, integrated into English society, and then we picked a bunch of thugs, basically, from Pervez Musharraf all the way to Nehru. It was bad timing and bad look, but it's like we can't get out of our way with it. We're almost beholden to them in a way that I can't quite understand. But my take on this is this. Let's see what happens. Next 48 hours, I guarantee you, you're going to see fireworks. They're going to be shooting again. This is not going away because we've already made it clear, Sean, there is no nuclear weapon at all on the table for you. So how do we get to that now? What do we do?
I don't know. That's what I'm saying. And you know the Iranians. I mean, you know my big fear would be an invasion, occupation. I've been fearful of it since the word go, putting our warriors back in theater in a place like that. But at the same time, the Iranians know pretty much that we're not going to do it either. So what? I mean, all they got to do is outlast us. I mean, they're there. They just wait.
Hasn't that been the playbook, the play that they run? You remember what we talked about? Run a play till they stop it, like in football.
Yes.
We're not stopping it. So here's the thing. I argue, though, in my latest piece on Battlefield and Boardroom versus Boardroom, that if you really want to do this in a truly, what I believe is secure, veterans will come out of it. You've got about 6 to 12 individuals that need to be eradicated, relocated underground permanently, and they know who they are. And Israel knows where they're at. Israel knows their movements. We need to take them out and get a new cadre in there. And I believe an assertion of probably a couple brigades. There's two or three key areas that we need to take out, the command and control of the IRGC. And in so doing, I believe the rotten structure will fall because it's they haven't paid their troops now, Sean. The IRGC and now in almost 3 weeks. So
no, and that's
you can imagine the loyalty.
No, that's a big deal, but it is not a regular. I mean, who am I preaching to? It's you, but they're not a regular army. They're believers. They're not just doing it for the paycheck. That's what scares me. I mean, it's like, and Trump comes into things doing the, you know, a great, great title on this piece because he does treat it like a boardroom and not a battlefield. He's, I think, I don't know what's in the president's head, but hey, that they want to get a deal out of this. I don't think they want a deal. I think the true believers don't give a damn about a deal. The idea that you're going to get a little bit, I'll get a little compromise here and this, they don't care. They don't work that way.
They don't, and they seek to attach the idea of a deal to a cartel is ridiculous. All they understand is, you've heard me say it, the power of the sword. And the truth of the matter is, we could have done this much differently. This is why I believe, Sean, you see, that the State Department becomes so much more powerful over iterations of different presidents as they're the only continuity. Every 4 to 8 years, you've got to change in a whole different direction. Right now, Trump's backed himself into a corner. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't see any outcome, without the removal of the IRGC completely that I would call a success for the United States.
And can you, I mean, you went back to the Israeli thing, but can you do that from the air? Can you completely take out the everybody that you need to in the IRGC from there? I worry you can't.
I'll tell you what you can do. You can mitigate another second and third wave of those volunteers to go be with the virgins. That opportunity's ripe. And I'm telling you, Israel knows where everybody's at all times. They have people inside the IRGC, inside the al-Basazi. They're everywhere. And I'm telling you, human sources, real operators. And they know that's how we knocked out their command here recently when we killed the Ayatollah. We know when they share it with us. And I think that's a dog on a leash that we need to unleash. There's nowhere if we can back out of this now and say, oh, it's a safer, everything's safer now as a result. They're going to be smoldering, pissed off, and angry. And I'm telling you, there will be martyrs from this, but we need to take the sword and do it decisively. We have not done that yet.
Okay, people want to read more about this. How do they find you on the Substack? Of course, they can find you from over at 1819 News, but get it direct the way I do. How do they sign up?
Yeah, all you can do is go to Substack.com and look for Blackbird Deuce. That's BlackBirdDeuce at Substack. And you can get my unfiltered, sometimes probably a little bit unhinged, takes on things, but this is one of those, I'm convicted. Come read the article, and I welcome any comments. It's just, I know that this isn't working the way we're doing it right now.
All right, Troy, as always, I appreciate it, and we'll talk soon.
Okay, my friend.
All right, there he is, Troy Carrico. And we're coming right back. More Midday Mobile, 251-343-0106.
We got the message. You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
I heard Dan and Dalton talk about the melting down the text line this morning. Seems like something is in the air out there doing the same. So we're trying to get to a lot of these. I miss yours. I'm sorry. It's not by design. They just come in faster than I can click through here. Let's go to, let's see. Okay, man, it keeps moving. Y'all quit. It's moving too fast here. All right. So we're going to travel back in time a little bit with this one. Then we'll get to what Troy had to say. Because Stevie Carl said, I've been trying to get an answer for decades about the Warner family's sod farming methods. It seems so much more like what led to the Dust Bowl than sustainable farming. Hey, Stevie Carl, they admit to it, right? That's why you get, if you're going to lease land for somebody, like, okay, if you're going to come in and lease ground bad and you said, hey, I'm going to come in and, we're row cropping. I mean, the easiest thing is, hey, I'm going to come in and can I put some cattle in a pasture? Okay, there's a price for that. But does very little damage to the pastures if rotated correctly. you know, and fertilize correctly. If you come in and do row crops, that's one thing. But if you come in and do sod, just the way, just the nature of doing it, you have to scrape up topsoil every time, right? So that would be a higher lease because it's going to take more away from the productivity down the road on that. We could probably talk about that more. I think this story about the zoning and planning for Baldwin County is going to get continue to be headline making. Killer B said, did you have the Pritchard garbage truck driver on your parlay? I didn't, but we will get to that here in just a little bit. I said, what did I write down in my notes this morning? It was something that I have to scroll back. I don't know. It was like, oh, Pritchard, or something like that. It was like, oh, Pritchard. I mean, it just keeps happening here. And more people about bear sight. That's cool, the ones in Fowl River. The bear sighting in the Fowl River area. I remember, what was that? Probably 10 years ago, 12 years. I have to go back and Google. Not that it hadn't happened before, but I remember the news story of a bear that swam, I think, coming from Baldwin County into Mobile County and came on shore somewhere around mouth of Fowl River in the past. They're just doing bear stuff. They're just moving around. But yeah, I said bear just showed back up at the house. Hadn't had a bear on camera, and I've run a ton of cameras. Hadn't had a bear on at the house for 2 months or so, but they do big loops. They're not like a deer or a turkey or something. They don't just occupy, you know, 200, 300, 400, 500 acres, something like that. They go, they're here today. They're 5 miles down the road tomorrow. Unless you leave a bunch of food out, and then, well, they're going to get it and stay. Why wouldn't they? Irish Indian said, Sean, did Dan smoke? If so, what did he smoke? I never saw Brennan smoking. If he's listening to, I don't think Dan ever smoked. But yeah, I was encouraged greatly by my PD. I worked with Steve Russell, the love muscle, and Louis Linguini, the Grecian who looks Venetian. Those are the names of the people I came into the business with when I went from WVUA in Tuscaloosa, the college station, got my first commercial job. They said, what's your name going to be? I said, Sean. They said, Sean, what? Sean. Oh, you need to smoke too. You know, okay. Jason, hey, Sean, will the sheriff be full 2 hours next week given all the material he has to talk about? I don't know. I'd have to talk to him, Jason. It's usually just slated to be that noon to one. So that will be happening on Tuesday. I don't know. I haven't even thought about the two-hour part of it, but we'll definitely have him on for an hour, and we'll see if it goes past there. All right, Gary says, Special Forces, or SF, I'm guessing, Special Forces, take over their TV and media, broadcast our message, drop the leaflets. Gary, what was the old, on one of Jimmy's live albums, which song was he going to, and I've got it somewhere, a live album, and he talks about back then, I think he was talking about Iran, we should drop Victoria's Secret catalogs and all that over the, I wish it was that easy. Let's see, Michael. The Israel knows where everyone is comment Troy threw out is why I said what I did earlier about flock cameras, but I'm guessing I'm blocked. I don't know what you said about flock cameras. That's what I'm saying. There's a gazillion texts here. Let me go back here. I'm scrolling. All right, here's what Michael, I'm sorry I didn't catch it earlier. I ought to run a video of what this screen will look like some days. I love it and keep it up, but said after Scott's talk, so I guess he's talking about Scott Buttram, who filled in for Jeff, after Scott's talk about the wonders of flock cameras, I must say I understand why everybody wants them. I, too, would rather have the police departments have total surveillance and keep everyone's moves they make documented. Of course, it's all for the safety and the children. And let's see here. Did I catch up with that one? Thank you, Ricardo Montalban, and I are having a private conversation about cool rock and roll bands, which I enjoy. I do that. We can maybe on a Friday, we can talk bands on Fridays. Let's see. Ben, some pallets of sod don't have that much topsoil. I guess we know why now. You know, what would always get me is I left a trail of topsoil when I used to have to lived in town. I used to have to and had dogs and have to resod my yard every 2 years, and I didn't have equipment to get through the gate, right? So I had to hand, you know, you back up as far as you can with the pallets of sod, then carry them out, and I would drop about a half ton of topsoil in my driveway trying to get in the backyard. All right, 1:30. Coming right back. 251-343-0106.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 1:35, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along. And y'all say hello to my buddy David McCrary from LCM Motor Cars, which, by the way, I didn't get to tell you when David came by the station earlier today. I didn't get to tell him I just hit my new personal best. It would have been, I think it was Monday, one traffic light. So now imagine I can only see the backs of vehicles, right? So I can't see what's in the other, you know, other three quadrants. Six LCM vehicles at the traffic light. So me being the six, so five and me. Five that's and me. News. So that's my new personal best counting.
You ought to be able to see over everybody now in your new truck.
Yeah, well, again, I just can't see the ones that are aimed the other way, right? At the this was at Schillinger and Airport. And I was like, one, two, three, right? I'm six. So yeah, there you go. So obviously you're doing something right.
I'm built-in entertainment for you, it sounds like. We're trying. I mean, we try to do our best every day. You know, we have customers that we've sold 10, 15, 20 cars to their families like you. We have the customers we've sold one car to. And then we have the customers that go out and they go shopping for a car for some unknown reason wherever they go. And then they end up here and they're like, well, I can't believe this people did this to me and this people did that to me. And not everybody's bad in this business, but not everybody's good either. So, you know, if they come see us up front and give us an opportunity to try to help them, we're going to be straight up with them, honest with them, give them the best deal we can give them. And if it's something we feel like they need to buy something else, we're going to tell them we're going to be truthful. We'll pull them a Carfax and let them have at it if they feel like they're getting a better deal somewhere else.
Yeah, I also like talking about this. If y'all have got that, like, family mechanic, if you go, okay, I'm interested in this vehicle. But, David, you're always like, hey, take it to you got a mechanic, take it to them.
Absolutely. I mean, we've and another thing, you know, we talk about big box stores all the time, and you know, locally owned is what I've always been about. You know, the local dealerships here in Mobile that are locally owned by families that I've worked for and whatnot, that's who I want to do business with if I need to go to a dealer to have service or something done or buy parts. Service work in some of the smaller stores, you're better off if you're dealing with somebody local. Don't go to any big box stores. I've seen so many people get just raped here lately, and it's absolutely embarrassing that people have done to them what they've done. But, you know, call us if we can help you, direct you in the right way we can with a car or service or whatever we need to do.
All right. Well, tell them how to find you.
We're at Highway 90 in Plantation. It's 1 mile south of I-10, exit 15A. We're at the third red light on the left-hand corner. Give us a call, 251-375-0068. Or go to the website, lcmmotorcars.com. Everything's got the new pictures and the new the photo booth looks great. Getting a lot of good, positive response on that. And if we can help you, let us know.
Good stuff, David. Thank you. Talk to you soon.
Have a good day, buddy.
All right, bye, you too. Yeah, by the way, you came by to bring me, you know, paperwork I needed on my vehicle. We just came and delivered it. I mean, try getting that with somebody who's not locally based. All right, 251-343-0106. Read this from Moz. Moz, I would like to... It might just be about seven or eight of us interested, but I would absolutely do an hour on soil out there. Maybe I'll save that for the outdoor show, which, oh, by the way, coming up this weekend, you said yes yesterday, our buddy Lee Davis from G&D is going to join us. We're going to talk about dove fields and all that, but we're talking about soil prep for deer season coming up. But Moz says, I work on a sod farm. Every few years, we plant a cover crop, brucey rye, sun hemp, sod buster, radishes, or oats. Till it in, use regular old crop rotation with various row crops, corn, beans, and peanuts. As many years that sod has been grown in Baldwin County, you'd think there wouldn't be any topsoil left if something isn't done to rebuild the soil. So there you go. What is your rotation? That's interesting to me. So let's say you grow St. Augustine, or what do they call it, or senna weed. You grow crop either. And they probably have different demands. But, Bonds, this is – maybe we only do this on the show, but I'm interested, so you can text me. This is your harvest year, okay? So you pull the sod off. Then do you – is it then the next year goes into a rotation of something else, cover crop? Or is it every third year? How do you do that? You know, like – and think about radishes. You know, break what he's doing there, growing radishes, not only – growing them, but you're breaking up the soil. You're in a way organically tilling the soil with that, which is something I've used before too, is good. And you probably thinking, what, you got beans in there, so you're fixing nitrogen back in the soil. Okay. And all right. So this would be, yeah, send it to me. I'm fascinated by this stuff. It may be just you and I, but Mons, please keep that conversation going. All right. Michael said, I would imagine that the data centers are less about AI than they are about the surveillance state that Troy was referring to and the Flock Palantir system type systems are using. Yeah. It's probably the growth in data centers, but I guess what he was, we were coming back to conversation from last week. They aren't new. Now, the expansion of them is new. I mean, heck, I saw one years ago, Southern Light one that was downtown. Remember going into that? Saying, no, that's pretty cool. It wasn't, I mean, I don't have any square feet. I don't remember. It wasn't acres or anything. But I don't know when, and we're going to have to get my tech buddies on to talk more about this, but what will be when this quantum computing, which I have a very, very light, very pedestrian understanding of it, how it works. I mean, I had one of my buddies explaining it, and I was like, okay, go back, say that again about 10 times. But it will reduce the footprint needed. So you'll have data centers that won't need as much space, maybe would take, and I don't know, what takes four data center buildings now at 3 acres now could be in one. I don't know what the ratios are, but they said it's going to be significant, the space needed for that computing. Now, the other side of it, I don't know. Here's a problem, Michael, and you bring it up. That's right. Is there's two parts of this. There's the physical data centers and questions about power and infrastructure and all those things. And then there's the whole other world of what's being stored on them. I can't, like, to look at them both ways, could you deny, okay, let's say if you're going to deny having a data center in your community and the argument you're going to make is based on what's stored in there. I mean, versus, I get the people going, well, you know, what's it going to mean for our power rates? That's the number one for me. And even though they've said our power rates wouldn't go up, not completely convinced yet, because what I think you could do, if I'm running the messaging coming from power companies, I'd say, listen, this is not going to increase your power rates. At this point, we're not increasing your power rates. You see what I just did there? Because I know I'm capped till 2029 through that stinker of a legislation that came out of session for the PSC restructuring. So I could sit there and say, man, I'm not raising, next year we're not raising your rates. Not raising your rates. Mm-mm. Knowing that I'm capped, but what happens in 2030, right? I need some guarantee on that. So how much of the pushback is, because I think it is mixed, how much of the pushback is the physical structure, power, those kind of things with the data center, how much of it is based on what's going to be stored in there? But they're going to store it somewhere else. You're not going to keep that from happening. I think the Flock cameras are interesting, too. I think two of the data centers and Flock cameras are very interesting politically. You know, we get to a point where it's predestination of opinion, right? Which the people reacting to Cameron poorly or different people. I thought he was a conservative. And then somebody who's liberal says, oh, I like this Cameron. And then the next thing he says, they don't like, because Cameron has a variety of beliefs, which I think most human beings do. But in this business, it seems like they're like, well, you just got to, it's all got to be one way. Well, those two subjects, Flock camera and data centers, kind of upset the apple cart a little bit, right? You have plenty of people that are conservatives or Republicans that are against these data centers. You've got the governor-elect, Coach Tuberville, saying he's for them, right? So how does that? And then Flock cameras, people are saying that are probably Republicans, these are good, this is for public safety. Other Republicans that are more maybe leaning towards the libertarian side, I may resemble that remark, go, well, what are they being used for? Do we want the surveillance? Are we, you know, we greenlighting this? So it is at least not binary. Like so many other issues, like, well, all Republicans think this, all Democrats think that. Yeah, it's like boring. Tim, the solar farm's just a PR move. Yes, you can produce electricity with those, but it's like spending $100 to save $10. It takes you years to recoup your initial investment. I'm looking at that, Tim, personally. I think, and I don't have a lot of square footage, but discussions, I think I'm on a, for the batteries are a big issue, right? So I've been looking at this and studying it. I would like to go completely off-grid at the house. And I think I'm on an eight-year, and that's building a really nice system that has the ability to upgrade, and this is a solar system that runs air conditioned and all that. I told you, I built a solar system at a camp that was on the river on the Tom Bigby years ago, but it was enough to do the lights and the water pumps and stuff like that. We're completely off grid. Like the nearest power line was a mile and something from us, but I still brought the generator to run the window unit air conditioner. So I didn't have a full system. What I'm looking at the house is, I mean, normal air conditioners, refrigerators, TVs, you know, whatever umpteen things my kids have plugged in. And we looked at that, and I think I was so building like, maybe it's a Cadillac and not a McLaren system, but a really nice system. And that was going to be 8 years that I would get back even. Let's see, unnamed texter. Hey, Sean. Oh, this is CA. Hey, Sean, what if AI holds a grudge? It might punish Calvert. That's right. Jeff in Spanish Fort, Bonnie and Clyde were caught without flock cameras, so there you go. What would the Bonnie and Clyde, you brought up a Jeff, a good thought process. What would the big chase of Bonnie and Clyde look like if it had been tracked by flock cameras? All right, coming right back. 251-343-0106.
Is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
At 1:52, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile on this Wednesday. All right, we've read a couple more of these texts, but I do want to get to Pritchard O. Pritchard here in just a second. Jim in Georgetown. People in the center, be it right or left, have a far greater ability to see both sides, good and bad. Conservative doesn't mean you don't like a good time or trying something new. Being liberal doesn't mean you don't respect laws or history. The fars of both sides are the ones that can't see that 80% agreement is enough for most regular in the middle folks. Well said. Let's see, Miles, I'll get back to you. I'm fascinated by this topsoil discussion. It may just be a few of us, but I'm in it. Yeah, Michael talked about that center that I went to way back in the day. He said you had to wear a special anti-static belt every time we worked in there. Had said to have Kevlar built into the walls. I don't know if I wore anti-static. I mean, it's been so long. But the guy who had it back then was like, hey, you ought to see this. And I was like, cool, something new. Pat says you should ask AI to create you a video of exactly that, Sean. What it would look like, that would be interesting, Pat. Like Bonnie and Clyde as followed by the flock cameras. We'd have a hit movie on our hands, wouldn't we? All right. Pritchard, oh, Pritchard. You know, back in the day, it was just Pritchard Water. Remember the good old days when it was just the questions about Pritchard Water? Then, recently, it's, police department run poorly, police department, and charges of crimes going on. Then it was, we have to park, remember last week, no insurance, park all the vehicles. We don't have insurance for the city had to park them to the point, the fire trucks not having insurance. And I remember the attorney, I think, for the council had said last week, we hope that they respond if needed, but they have to take it on their – this is a complete paraphrase, but they have to take their own responsibility because we don't have insurance. I mean, that was a state of emergency for Pritchard called on Friday. State of emergency. Not from a hurricane, not from a, you know, earthquake, natural disaster. No, because of mismanagement. State of emergency called. And then this, yesterday, I mean, it's like every day. And I think it was Joshua earlier in the week was asking what the over-under would be for Pritchard stories this week. I think I said 4. I don't know what he said, but we're tracking that way. So here's the latest, right? The question of, this is kind of interesting because it goes in to what we said yesterday. Remember when we talked about that even the sanitation vehicles were limited because they didn't have insurance and they couldn't be going out to pick up garbage? Well, maybe one was. The story from WKRG says, Sheriff Paul Birch says the 54-year-old sanitation driver, now identified as Clifton DuBose, in this story, the road rage story, said the sanitation driver got out of his vehicle, pointed a gun at the back of the male driver. The female passenger got out of her vehicle, fired 2 shots. Birch said more shots were then fired while no one in the family was struck by gunfire. One of the preteens had a small cut from broken glass, according to investigations. Birch said the truck driver will be charged once he's released from the hospital. DuBose will be charged with 5 counts of reckless endangerment, 5 counts of shooting into an occupied vehicle, and an active warrant that he already had for domestic violence. So it is a road rage, and I've now watched the video, too, they put up. You know, with flock cameras, you get all kind of video. A road rage shooting injuring a Pritchard sanitation employee. In other words, garbage truck, right? Says, according to official family, including 2 adults, 3 children, was in the vehicle and felt like the sanitation worker was trying to drive them off the road. Right? Heard it last night. It was like a, you know, running in, trying to run into the other vehicle with the garbage truck. Then it says the 2 adults in that vehicle and the sanitation employee then got out of their vehicles. They began shooting. I mean, this is the damn garbage truck, okay? Allegation here that obviously some kind of back and forth, something was popping off. Then the allegation here is trying to run the other car off the road with the garbage truck. And then you get out of the garbage truck and everybody reaches for their GAT. Officials say the sanitation employee was hit in the abdomen, after which he got back into the garbage truck and drove to a nearby gas station. Close to a dozen shots were fired between the 2 parties. Only 1 person injured was a Pritchard employee. Another vehicle not involved in the shooting had its window shot out and ended up at CNC Event Hall. Sanitation employee's injuries appear to be non-life-threatening. All right, so the charges, but there's the charges coming out here in this. So they're waiting for, because it says the truck driver will be charged once released. Everybody can be charged, I think, because they're shooting at each other over what? But once again, I mean, Pritchard, this is, somebody texted, don't forget about suspended or revoked driver's license. You're correct. I left that out. Of the story, it said DuBose charged with 5 counts of reckless endangerment, 5 counts of shooting into an occupied vehicle, and active warrant that he already had for domestic violence. And thank you, Texter, the last sentence here. Additionally, he had a revoked driver's license. Out of all the things, you're like, and your driver's license was revoked. So we'll pick this up tomorrow on the show, but how bad does it get before, like, you just go, you know what? We're just start at the beginning here and do the whole thing over. I mean, no insurance, no police department. I would say because of the insurance thing, no fire department. I mean, these are the things cities are formed on, right? Trash trucks weren't supposed to be driving because of insurance. I wonder what that's going to mean. It wasn't insured, but you're trying to use that, at least the allegation is, to run somebody off the road. Then you have a shootout over it. I mean, back in the old, remember the good old days when we just worried about Pritchard Water? Nia Bradley doesn't seem so bad anymore, does she? All right, 158, Paul Feinbaum on the way next. Y'all have a great one.